Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Now, the last year has taught most of us how valuable friendships are, if we didn't know it already. But what impact has the pandemic had on our relationship with our friends? And how easily can we just take up where we left off once the pandemic is at an end? Well, for some advice on this, I'm joined by GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry and also Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the psychology department at the University of Limerick. You're both very welcome. Harry, I'm going to start with you,
Claire,
because we're going to define all of this now to begin with. A lot of people have been keeping in touch with friends through social media or WhatsApp. How helpful has that been, and how good a replacement is it?
I think Claire, what we have to define is two kinds of relationships in the area of social media. A lot of people think they have friends in social media, but they're not really friends. But I think when we have genuine friends, social media can be helpful, but nothing replaces that one-to-one one-to-one face contact and communication. And I think it's important, Claire, that we define what is a friend. You know, that there are three kind of groups of people. You have acquaintances, whom we all know. These are the people that we interact with on a regular basis, the parents you meet outside the gate and you have a little chat with and things like that. And then we have a very important group called casual friends. And these are a smaller group of people that we are kind of in regular contact. Maybe I'm finding a lot of feedback coming from workplaces about this. Say work colleagues or people that we meet in community activities or sports activities or hobbies. And these are people that we'll chat a lot to, and we'll reveal a reasonable amount about our lives to them. But we won't ever really release serious personal relationship. And then what I would call the true friends. And I always maintain that we can really put these on one hand in the majority of cases. And these are the really valuable relationships. These are the people that will tell us the truth about ourselves, that we can open up our hearts to, and that we can share anything with, no matter how difficult. And that bond is kind of very strong. And for me, the one word that defines a true friend is the word trust, mm-hmm. that you can genuinely trust that whatever you say to this person will stay between you. And, you know, you trust your heart to that person.
OK, and we'll talk about how to maintain those bonds in a moment. But Anne-Marie, how important are friendships to our overall health, both physical and mental?
They're actually really, really important, Claire, because your friends are the people who might motivate you to take up an activity like Couch to 5K, for example. And they're a source of emotional support for us when life is particularly tough. So our friends do have impacts on our physical and our mental health. And of course, some of the disadvantages might be when we have friends who model maladaptive behaviours like alcohol consumption and so on. But overall, humans really need to form and maintain social connections. So friendships are a massive part of that. And in early childhood, while parents and the family unit are the most important relationships to a child, the role of friendships gets more and more important as children get older. And I actually think that friendships are more important now than ever, because during young adulthood, where friends are particularly important, we don't see people marrying or finding a partner or having children at the early stage we might have in previous generations. So friends might be even more important for that age group than they have been before.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go back, Harry, to your three groups that you talked about there, the casual friends, the people you've closer bonds with through work, sport and so on, and then the true friends. I would look at that now and I would say the casual friends might drift away. The true friends will always be there, pandemic or not. But you might have some trouble maintaining those special relationships you have with people who you play sports with, or you're in the drama club or the choir with, or you work with.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true, Claire. I think a very important point is that Roger Dunbar, the famous anthropologist, said we all have about 150 people we can communicate with at any one time. But when we look at things like friendships, for example, and casual and close friendships, they keep changing as we go through life. And it's been shown through research that the biggest single time of real problems for people is in their middle life, when there's so much change going on in their life, you know, between having babies, looking after aging parents, looking after children, work problems and all that. So what we find is that this group of casual friends keeps changing, and sometimes as I have found in my own life, even close friends, we just cannot maintain those kind of relationships as time goes on. But I think the trouble with the pandemic, though, The pandemic has made it, it's destroyed the world of acquaintances. It has drawn a horse and cart to the world of casual relationships, because it's very difficult, Claire. You know, we need this constant human touch and communication and nourishment and face-to-face contact where we can laugh and cry and support and encourage each other. And in the absence of that, it's very hard to maintain these relationships. And a lot of people are saying to me that who are stuck at home, working from home and really struggling, and I'm sure a lot of listeners can really relate to this, that they really, really miss those relationships, say, at work or maybe in the community, different activities they would be involved in. And they're really struggling to hold those together, because it's very hard to do that through kind of social media platforms. You know, those relationships are particularly susceptible to getting into trouble if there isn't that constant...
Yeah, a lot of those relationships, I don't know whether you'd both agree with this, are based around the social lives that we have. So, you know, the bulk of your social life might be catching up with your friends from time to time. So when that's gone, those relationships might just drift as well, Anne-Marie, would you say?
Yeah, there's certainly a layer of friendships that are really based on our day-to-day activities. And when you take those activities away, you don't have the structure that supported the relationship anymore. So I can imagine now that people have less contact with groups they would have had before. So if you used to meet for a gym class, that's gone now. And if you had a large number of friends before, maybe you don't have the time to catch up with people to the same degree if you can't meet them. So any friendship that was really based on a shared interest or activity that's been eliminated during COVID is probably going to suffer. And I would agree that some of those may not recover. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. Friendships do change across the lifespan. But when we take away some of the structures we would have had to support the casual friendships, we can see it's only to be expected some of them might fall by the wayside. And we might pick them back up again later in time. Mm-hmm. But for now, certainly some of them would be on ice, definitely.
But all of this is so much more important for younger people whose network is so critical to them, to their development, to their social life and so on.
For young people, really, they're the age group where friends are most important. You know, for older adults, I suppose partners and family members are prioritised, but for young adults, having a large number of social circles is actually fundamental for their development. It's where you seek a sense of who you are by meeting other people. And for friendships at the moment in COVID, unless you're living with your friends, you're not going to get to see them as much. So I do think for young adults, the damage to friendships hasn't been discussed enough. Mm. It has a really significant impact. It's like, for example, for someone of my age not being able to see their partner. That's what it's like for young adults. So we do need to be mindful that while friendships are important across the lifespan, for young adults, for emerging adults, they are just so, so much more important.
Harry, I'll get your views on young people in a moment, but John in Limerick have texted us to say, I have no close friends. As a 40-something single man, I wonder, are there many like me out there? What would you say?
Yeah, funny enough, I totally empathise with John, because I think there is a large cohort of people, much bigger than one might think, of particularly single people in their 40s or maybe early 50s, maybe late 30s, who are extremely lonely. And they're lonely because, firstly, it's very difficult at that period of life to start making really close friendships and relationships and things like that. It can be extremely difficult. But COVID has destroyed this. And I know that there are trapped around the country. There are a lot of very, very lonely men and women in that age group. And we know that loneliness is really bad for us in every sense. It's bad for us mentally and it's bad for us from a physical health point of view. And a lot of my GP colleagues are talking about the sadness and the anxiety and the mood things they're seeing coming through as a result of loneliness. So I think it's really, really important that one of the big messages for me that I wanted to say this morning, if anybody has, say, a casual friend or a close friend who you know is vulnerable to loneliness, who may be very much on their own for different reasons, I think we all have a really important duty here to really reach out and to reach out to people like John and to try and, you know, either pick up that phone, send them a text, you know, maybe contact them on social media, wherever like that, and try and open those doors to that friendship. Do you know what I mean? Even if it's only a casual friendship, because they are so very, very important.
Well, another listener says, a good friend knows all your best stories. A best friend has lived them with you. And that seems very apt. Anne-Marie, what about tips, ways that we can nourish our friendships? Because we've established, haven't we, that they are crucially important. They're more important at certain stages of your life. But we will emerge from this and we want those relationships to be there or to at least be recoverable.
We do. And I do think it's important to go easy on ourselves about whether we've managed to maintain friendships to the same degree. I think uniquely, everybody has suffered in terms of their relationships during the pandemic. So I hope that means that people can be kind and be open and be understanding when you pick friendships up again, that things mightn't be just how they were for a time. Now, what's also important, though, is because we're all living in, I suppose, a smaller community than we would have before, we're not traveling around so much, we're not necessarily in our workplace, we might be encountering what we call weak ties, or those casual acquaintances Harry mentioned. So they might be somebody you meet at a distance outside the school gate. They might be somebody in your coffee shop. They could be the delivery driver. You might get to know those kind of ties better. So I would say that in the absence of getting to see your regular friends and your very close friends as you would like, these ties might tide you over that bit, and some might even lead to the development of more friendships. So I would say take advantage of your opportunities to connect with those kind of ties when you see them, and be kind and be open and be understanding that when you do catch up with those close ties that you miss currently, things mightn't be the same, but that's okay. You'll get back to where you were in time.
All right. Thank you both for joining us, Dr. Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven.